Meta Monthly Cortex Owie. Filter Podcast Just Air Talking. Big Blue Projects Questions All Are Posting, asking, these are favorites. Meta Filter Monthly Podcast Cortex Jess and Howie Talking. People posting projects, asking questions, these are all our favorites. Meta Filter Monthly Podcast Cortex Jess and Howie Talking. People posting projects, asking questions, these are all our favorites. Meta Filter Monthly Podcast Cortex Jess and Howie Talking. People posting projects, asking questions, these are all our favorites.
Hi, welcome to episode 105 of the Meta Filter Podcast. I am Cortex, a.k.a. Josh Millard.
I'm Jessamine.
And I'm Matt Howie.
And we are talking about everything from, I think it was May 6th through today is June the 2nd. We almost made the 1st.
It's my fault.
It's okay. It's so close to June 1st that we can hardly complain.
My boss at the other job was like, hey, I'm not getting my contract renewed for stupid harassment reasons. Can we have lunch? And I was like, oh, God.
Jesus.
I mean, I shouldn't laugh because it probably means the end of my teaching at that school, too. But I can move my little kit somewhere else.
Yeah, that's a reasonable reason to push a podcast not compensated for a day, I think.
Yes. So thank you, gentlemen, for your patience and understanding.
Well, it's been a month of Metafilter, and as usual, it's been a pile of good stuff. How you guys been?
I've been really good, actually. Weather. It's been pouring nonstop for 2 days. I can't remember a time before it started raining. I have that internet attention span.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we hit record. But the thing is, Matt is super bummed because it was super super warm here for a good solid week at least, 80s and shit and sunshiny, and now just as of yesterday and this morning, it's been cold and wet and shitty, and I'm so happy, and Matt is sad. And
what do they call it in Oregon? January.
Hey!
Junevember.
Nice.
January. Yeah, they go, January. It's 50 and raining, as it should be in June.
They also use that to refer to very specific, complicated kinds of relationships. I'm really, really happy. I had to pull a blanket back out of the closet yesterday and put on the bed before going to bed. And that's the happiest thing in the world for me. So
yeah, good sleeping weather is what we all call it.
Yeah.
So exactly, weather has been great. Everything else has been pretty much the same. Not bad. You saw I did the Greg Nog.
Yes, the wedding.
The Nog Toaster wedding, which was delightful. You know, it was perfect, actually. There's usually always a thing or a wrinkle or some aspect that's hey, it went well, but there was a problem. This just, the whole thing just went dynamite. They both have really nice families. It was a really nice event. I was happy with my part of it, which was a little jokey, but that was kind of appropriate to their thing. It was 40 minutes from here, an hour from here, so it wasn't that far. It was in the afternoon, so it wasn't that early. We left not super late, so that was good. I met Optimus Chime, which was super weird because I've never met him before. And he's normal in person.
Yeah, I met him really briefly in 2008 or something. Whenever I did that JetBlue thing, I think. Saw him at a meetup. But it's a super crowded meetup, so we got as far as shaking hands with sometimes this site is a weird place for us to interact.
We had drinking, a table. It was me and Jim and Griffiths and Blister Lips, or Nikki and Yakov. And then we were supposed to be with Shakespearean and his family, but there'd been a sickness. Somebody was sick, so they couldn't come. So we wound up being in this big table in the corner with only the four of us. So all four of us got to kind of sit with our backs against the wall and kind of shoegaze and mumble to each other and play with our phones, which made it perfect.
Yeah, that's
awesome. And then those guys later, the rest of them kind of came down and we hung out and we met a bunch of other people, who I cannot give shout-outs to because they all had obscure usernames that I didn't know.
Do you publish the vows on all? Oh, you do. Neat.
I just sent you a link to them.
No, I meant, like, do you do it for everybody or just internet weirdo weddings?
No, for everybody.
Stanchion. Oh, my God.
For not internet weirdo people, I sometimes take the names out. Mm-hmm. Just so that people don't Google themselves and find some random wedding ceremony that their grandma was mentioned in, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I wrote the whole thing down.
Bagpipes? There were bagpipes.
Not only were there bagpipes, Greg Nogg, who is half Scottish and half Greek, was in full-on Scottish kit. You know, nice. Like he had not only the kilt, but like the socks and the shirt and the jacket and the thing and the whatever.
What's the thing on the front called? The thing with
merkin.
The little...
It's called
the
a
sporran?
Merkin. The round, like...
The sporran.
Sporran, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was the rare...
Like, sporran. Sporran.
I promised myself I'd never read MetaTalk again because I don't have to. And then I think I did on one day, and it was his post. And it was like, oh, my God, there's a cabal.
The funniest thing ever.
And it's real. And it's like Optimus Chime is mentioned. I went, wait, what happened? What's going on? Because there's always like controversies I have no idea that are happening.
I'm glad for you that is the one MetaTalk that you've read last month.
Yeah, and like four paragraphs into it, it started to dawn on me like, oh, I see what you did there. But, man, I was terrified for like 30 seconds.
Well, and I knew they had done it in the wedding because him and Yakov were looking at their phones making like jokes about it. And Yakov didn't have like an internet signal, so I got to share my Metafilter phone signal so that he could upload a video of Greg dancing at the wedding. I don't know. At any rate, that happened, and it was really nice, and Heather was likewise delightful and has delightful family, and it was fun to meet all of their friends. Non-internet friends.
Was it in Vermont?
Yeah. I can only marry people in Vermont. So Greg's family has
marry people in looser states too. I mean,
I would need a different kind of qualification.
States. Like, you know, my brother-in-law printed a thing off the internet and married.
Yeah, Jim has that. Universal Life Church. I think Josh, don't you have that?
Yeah, that's what I have too.
Oh, you have to do one this summer, right, Josh?
I don't.
Weren't you going to marry people soon? I thought that was this year.
That was me.
No, I thought you were going to do it, Josh.
No, I'm going to Huntsville for the summer, but I'm not marrying.
When is that happening?
There.
Huntsville? Are you going to space camp?
But Angela
is. We talked about this last month.
Oh, that's right, her NASA thing.
Yeah.
She was just going to go away, and you were going to sit with the cats.
Nah, we'd both go crazy if we did it that way. And it turns out that I have a job that's really mobile. So, we're going to like middle of this month. We'll take off. We'll hop in the car and haul ass for 4 days and get over to Huntsville and set up there until basically the end of August, and then, you know, wind our way back a little bit slower since we're
going to like
deadline.
Airbnb your house or something?
We got a rented furnished apartment. We're just leasing it.
I meant your house in
Portland. No, I don't think so. It just, we don't have anybody specifically that we know who specifically would need it and want it right now. And
so it's just empty. So if I wanted to go to Portland for a week, I could just break in and hang out in that awesome bedroom.
Right.
What
exactly.
About the cats?
You're not leaving the cats there alone, are you?
No, they're staying with Angela's mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
so I've got a safe house now.
Yes, right.
Portland.
Exactly.
If I'm getting tailed.
If you need to
break
into the
house,
call me ahead of time.
I need four safe houses and 12 routes to get to it. For
door
maximum.
Code?
Yeah, you know, like the pin, like digital pin things. We got one of those. So.
No
you
way.
You have a digital pin thing for the door?
You can buy them at like fucking cheap. Home Depot. Yeah. They're not expensive.
Not a wacky.
It turns out.
Yeah, don't buy a Wi-Fi one because those will probably break, but the simple pin.
Yeah, just real basic one. They're pretty tried and true at this point, it turns out. We were asking friends about it, and they're like several of them like, oh, yeah, this. Yeah.
Send me a link. I need that for reasons.
Sure. Okay.
Airbnb
I will do that.
People use those now a lot. Yeah, I think they're only like 30, 40 bucks.
Because then you can change them.
Yeah, sporadically, yeah.
In any case, that is to say, no, I'm not marrying anyone, I don't think. But maybe maybe I'll marry someone in Huntsville.
Alabama.
That's going to be so great.
It's going to be, but my main concern is just going to be it's hot. Yeah, it's like I get annoyed at Portland in the summer because it's too nice out, so I'm going to the south. But you everybody could, there has AC, so...
Do you have a porch and a rocking chair and mint juleps? I don't know. Is that a thing?
I think there is a...
I think mint juleps are more coastally, but yeah.
That's northern.
Yeah. There will certainly Carolinas. Be brown liquor available, so... Yeah, and there's a pool at the place where we're getting the apartment, so...
Dude, post photos. I gotta see what...
I will do so.
Also, she gets to go space camp as an adult. I never got to go
it's
to space...
It's not space camp.
Stop it. Let me just keep calling it space camp. I didn't get to go to space camp as a kid. Then I found out Cold Chef got to go to space camp. That was like my dream as a fifth grader was to go to space camp, but my parents had no money and didn't...
And you were super far away, too. He was kind of nearby.
It's the other side of the world to California. So
Cold Chef should be a reasonable day's drive. Angela has to, you know, show up to work every day, Monday, Friday. But I've got, you know, days off throughout the week, you know, depending on where the schedule is. So I might sneak down, you know, sneak around, set up some meetups.
How does geology work with NASA?
NASA has a lot of satellite imagery of this crazy marble we call Earth. So Andrew's going to be doing analysis of basically landslide data and prediction in Uganda and Rwanda. Is what the project she's working on is, which is super relevant because there was just a bunch of like quake and landslide stuff or flooding and landslide stuff in that vicinity in the last few months. And so the team that she's going to be working with was, you know, using some of what they're going to be using to try and literally identify potential spots where there could be landslides in areas where people are populated that, you know,
geologic unrest.
Yeah, so
seems like you could do predictive modeling on like with the Mathematica and just looking at angles, like the cleavage angles of those parent materials. Totally.
Soil scientists getting
Matt
excited.
Matt has a soil science background.
It could be automated.
Yes, he
somewhat.
Does.
Yeah, this isn't her staring at Google Maps, scrolling every day, going, nope.
No, it's them using data to make somewhat more intelligent, I think, predictions than
just staring. Fascinating.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes. It sounds like
it's
really
super spacey, though.
It's not NASA.
I guess
not
space.
It's from space.
NASA is involved. That does not mean
it's also aeronautics. You know, the A in NASA isn't space.
Is it USGS also, or just NASA?
They may be involved as well. It's not my internship. I don't really know the. I don't really know the details.
Get Angela on the horn.
Yeah, get her on the podcast. Maybe we'll, I'll help whatsoever.
Once we get there and she actually has a chance to do it, we could get her to hop on. Anyway, should we talk about Metafilter? You've got
your 110
o'clock. Yes. I think we established that was a quintuple Dexter number.
You made up some bullshit, but I have, in the intervening time, while you guys are like, blah, blah, space camp, actually looked some stuff up.
Tell us about 105.
Here's the interesting thing about 105. 105 and its neighbor, 104, are a Ruth Aaron pair. Don't know why I didn't mention this last month. Maybe I did. I've got a, you know...
It's news to me.
Lately. But the prime factors of 105 and the prime factors of 104 are the same. They both add up to, they're not the same, but they both add up to 15, which means they're a Ruth Aaron pair. So it's only meaningful in its relationship to its neighbor, though it is also the atomic number of dubnium. Which is just sort of a weird, interesting element that I didn't know anything
about. It's the element that they used to make.
It's the hypnotoad element.
Yes. is Ruth Aaron after some baseball records of Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron? Or
just the buzzing sound coming back. What was that?
Babe Ruth, I literally have no idea. I haven't looked at this. I don't know if it's got a cute baseball name from a mathematician who's a baseball fan, or if it just happens to be related to...
I think it's two people.
Two people named Ruth and Aaron who have nothing
to
do with
that. This is seriously, you're asking me to click a thing so you don't have to click a thing.
Well, you didn't post the thing that I would
The name was given
case.
By Carl Pomerantz for Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron.
Okay, there
Happy?
We go. That's I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled.
What was
so,
that?
because
sports.
Ruth's home run total was 714, and then Aaron eclipsed it when he got his 715th home run, and the prime factors sums are the same for those numbers.
Oh, nice.
Bam.
There we go. I speculated successfully. I'm happy to have been involved in this analysis with you.
Your wild-ass guess happened to be correct.
I thought it was a decent guess. I don't know, adjacent numbers. You know?
I assumed it was some Ruth Aaron scientist mathematician. No.
Nope. Baseball wins, apparently. Well, jobs. There were a few jobs last month.
Last time I looked, there were like none.
Well, you're probably just looking at June again.
Why was this?
There's a whole page full of May.
Well, there's not. I think last time I looked, there were two, because there's a big gap of like 11 days. Yeah. Anywho, yeah, there is some stuff.
Well, this is an extremely last-minute thing, but it should come up before the wedding happens. We should get this podcast published, so you could photograph Naturalog's wedding in New York City on June 5th. So if you're not doing anything on Friday and you're a photographer who won't screw up someone's wedding, give them a call.
Whoa. Yeah, that's some tight.
And also, Wilder's looking for some people to do home and garden work in exchange for getting to hang out in sort of a neat part of the world. Replace some decking, lay some paving, set up a wire trainer 3 days a week for a while, DIY, they speak Spanish and German and English, would be kind of cool, free room and board.
In Hastings.
It looks like Jesse Thorne is looking for some sort of intern? No.
You sent the link to Greg Nog's wedding again.
What? No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
You totally
did. I was quit. Oh.
Yes, Maximum Fun's looking for...
Can we turn off these previews in Skype?
I know. They're trying to be Slack.
You updated.
They are trying to be Slack, and Slack allows you to turn that shit off.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you just do?
I removed and edited. You can edit and... neat. They're totally trying to be Slack. You can cut all this. Jesse Thorne.
I don't care. I'm interested in that.
Jesse Thorne is looking for someone transitioning to a career in audio production, giving them some sort of... this is above internship, but seems...
Meaning it's paid?
Yeah, it's pretty low pay scale, but that is NPR world normal, I think.
But it's paid.
$21,000 a year. Yeah.
That's fine.
That's pretty low, but... Yeah.
How much a year?
$21,000 a year, it says.
That's more than I make at the archive.
What?
But I'm wicked part-time there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wicked part-time.
Yeah, meaning quarter-time.
Yes.
Projects.
You're part-time squared. Projects.
That's not what squared means. I guess it kind of is.
It's intensifier, right? So if you're intensifying a fraction, you could do it by squaring it, and then you get a smaller fraction. So like half time and then wicked half time.
It's always kind of freaked me out, but yeah, you're right. Projects. I loved this. So everybody followed all the Twitter isn't doing shit about harassment stuff back when it was happening. And then Women Action and the media became the sort of intermediary before Twitter said they were going to beef up their nonsense. And became the intermediary between people. Like, people could report harassment to them, and then they would escalate stuff to Twitter. And so theoretically, even though there was critiques of that method, what it meant was that Twitter was only getting sort of claims of harassment that had been vetted by a third party so that they could spend their time just dealing with and fighting with harassment. And they finally did, this is Honest Knave, and they finally did a big report on sort of what they found out, which was, you know, kind of depressingly sort of what you would think in a lot of ways. Like, even for claims when WAM was like, oh yeah, this person was totally being harassed, only sometimes did Twitter actually do stuff about it, blah, 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 blah. I mean, Twitter clearly still has a problem, but the report is awesome. You learn a lot of stuff about the project, and they have an infographic with summary and recommendations that I thought was really worthwhile. So awesome project, and was happy to read about it.
That is super. Jeez. Yeah, that was, there was the Metafilter post about it. And
I wonder if they gave Twitter a heads up, because Twitter seemed to make announcements right before this came out. Like, did they say, hey, this is coming out in a couple weeks, and they moved to action on it? I don't know.
You should do a guest Mephite podcast interview segment with Honest Nave about it. Just do a little 10-minute thing, then we'll paste that in the next podcast.
Because this is it's a pretty damning report. But then Twitter just suddenly turned over, you know, a month ago, going like, we're going to try and do stuff.
Yeah.
I think this happened in between the time when WAM started collecting data and, like, I think Twitter did that secondary to WAM stepping up and saying they were going to do this in the first place. That was my read on the timeline, although I could be wrong about it. I mean, here's the thing. It's only a damning report if Twitter gives a shit, and it's unclear still whether, other than, like, we've made mistakes, PR moves, whether they actually do.
Yeah. I guess Dick Costello did say it public a few months ago.
And then what happened?
I know. Well, yeah.
It's really easy to be a dude and go on social media and be like, we're wicked sorry, and get retweeted a million times. It's harder to actually do something about the problem. And I'm not saying they're not.
I mean, he said something on the record to a reporter at a conference or something about it. I think he said it in a speech. But
Yeah.
They didn't say they were going to do anything.
What they said was, you know, abuse reports are up, like, whatever percent. And then they're like, so we're beefing up our abuse staff by whatever percent. And those percentages weren't the same. You know, like abuse is up, 100 times. And so we're doubling our staff or whatever. And you're kind of like, dude, I can do fucking math. Everybody on the internet can do math.
Yeah, unless you have a really amazing force multiplier plan that you can explain clearly.
Well, and one of the things that was really interesting about the report, which I read, was how much kind of jokey, fake abuse signal noise stuff goes on. Like, how many people just report abuse on people they don't like, opinions they don't like, or just to be dicks, basically. So dealing with both the problem of assholes on the internet, but then assholes on the internet using the tools to keep the assholes away, creates a real difficult situation, because if your abuse team has to deal with 1/3 false positives constantly by trolls, it makes it really difficult to get serious about your abuse team. So anyhow, we can move on, but like, I just, a lot of the things I learned from that were interesting to me and kind of eye-opening, because we always had it kind of easy on Metafilter, because like, it was pretty easy just to ban people forever, both from a technological perspective, but also, like, you could tell if somebody's really abusing the goodwill of the community. And I think in Twitter it's a lot less clear, and Twitter was a lot less likely or willing to take those steps for whatever reason.
I know we always mention Ignignox, like,
he's a talent.
He does great stuff. But this one is amazing. The Snake People bot. So there's this Millennials, the Snake People, where anytime the word Millennial shows up in a news article, Chrome extension, it changes the words to Snake People, which
that's great.
Hilarious headlines. It's become like a huge thing, like the cloud to butt extension that people did. Anytime
says,
like, all your files in the cloud, you know, and you replace it with butt, and it's hilarious. It's sort of getting, like, mainstream popular, and then this is a Snake People bot that grabs news headlines and replaces different ones with,
it's pretty good.
It is fantastic.
It's pretty funny. Snake People.
It's enjoyable. So, if we're going to talk about the usual suspects, I would like to say how much I enjoyed Horace Rumpole's article on Shakespeare syndrome, which was basically a response to internet freak out. Oh my God, we might have found a picture of Shakespeare! And he's like, really?
It's an old guy with a mustache. Clearly, it's Shakespeare.
I'm a librarian, and I know, it's more, it looks like a picture of you, Josh.
Thank you.
Nothing wrong with that, but like, it could be you as much as he looks more like you than, like, seriously. And so
he's like an old research librarian, right? Or whatever.
No, he was a playwright.
He's my age, but he, no. Yeah.
I mean, he works in a weird old collections, right?
He works at Houghton, which is, you know, special collections, yeah. Neat old books from Harvard. And he's very talented, and he's been doing it for a very long time. So he's like, let's actually talk about what's actually going on when you do real research, not just that guy looks like that guy.
Fake internet research.
And it's just a fascinating short article. I mean, you know, I should probably mention he writes for my group, so, but, you know, he's...
Oh, yeah. Is he a message writer for real now?
No, but we just brought that... We've been sort of, like, looking and getting messagey stuff. Yeah, so he was a designated hitter, and it's just a great short article that talks about, like, what real librarians do and what real research is like. Sorry, internet people. And it was very good. He did a great job. I was really pleased with it.
Sweet.
Well, speaking of word bots, there's a couple others this month as well, along with a Snake People bot. Moon Milk made...
Who we also mention a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I should say that the word bot thing is especially on my mind, too, because we had a discussion in MetaTalk recently about the idea of doing some sort of word bot jam. I think maybe we talked about it since the last podcast because I'd sort of brought it up there.
Oh, I don't think I saw that. I must have missed it.
We haven't organized anything concrete yet. It's more of people just talking about the idea in fits and starts, but we might try and do something more formal later in the year. The idea is maybe we could get some resources together so we can point people who are brand new to it to some tools that they don't have to, like, learn to program from scratch or anything. And that's sort of coming along nicely.
What's wrong with learning to program from scratch?
Nothing. But it's if someone who doesn't know anything about programming can spend a little time and make a simple word bot in, you know, an hour versus be given a manual for Python and said, hey, learn to program, you know, it's more people can get involved. They can dip their toes.
I hear that.
I was going to ask, is it like a Node.js word thing that's like a... That you just point a corpus at or something?
I still haven't even used Node.js yet, so I don't know.
Uber, but for getting angry just thinking about drinking Four Loco.
What? So Moon Milk built this thing that looks for, in Moon Milk's words, how it works. It watches a Twitter stream for tweets like, I'm lounging on the couch with my dog, and rewrites them as Uber, but for lounging on the couch with your dog. So it does some pronoun replacement and whatnot. And the best thing about this is then Nora Reed had also done one called Like Uber Butt. So now we have two different metafilter generated Uber Butt for joke Twitter bots out there. So I'm really enjoying that. But also this fantastic idea from Frenetic, a.k.a. Brad Sucks. He made a bot called Odd Vice that mashes up two Vice headlines into something new.
Nice.
And this is immediately hilarious. Immediately hilarious.
What's his name? Darius does this. He has two headlines.
Darius Kazuma.
Spot. Yeah. And this is gold.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out the Vice is the perfect corpus for this sort of thing.
Because they're already so weird. Formula.
The Vice guide to Right Now, a red-headed terrorist allegedly wanted to spit on my vagina, so I told his employer...
Everything I learned as a children's birthday party at a Toronto upscale bathhouse, watched orgies, and felt nothing.
We spoke to one of the strangest weeks ever.
I don't follow these jokey things, but this is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's super great. Jesus. I really enjoyed
that. Use the internet or lose your job, the life of a Brazilian teenage hot air balloon gang. Because those are two articles, like, in there somehow, right?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
But. Okay, my favorite project of the month.
Wait, is it the same as my favorite project?
I don't know. No, I bet it's not, but the thing that I think is yours, you go first. I just talked to them.
No, you go first.
Okay, well, my favorite project was not the birdhouse you're going to mention. It was awesome.
I'm not going to mention any fucking birdhouse. There's a birdhouse?
Never mind. The birdhouse is pretty awesome now. I feel like I have to mention it. So my favorite project was Super Micro Paint.
Rain. I didn't even look at this because I was Josh. Josh will talk about it.
Post. This is my other favorite.
We should let Matt talk about it.
Yeah,
sure. It's like this 90s era, 80s almost, like simple paint program that does four simple frames, and you like draw them with your mouse, and then animates them immediately, and you see a little preview. Like you can make a cheesy animation in about 2 seconds.
This is what you've been posting to Milkshake over and over and over, right, Josh?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually set up a shake for it because I realized at some point, you know, the the thread is going to close. And
so I just pasted in one. Does that work? I just drew this while I was talking. Just a bubble going down to nothing. Like, you can just do that. It just four frames.
Yep.
It's so good.
Yeah, super minimalist. It's just, you know, monochrome, so you've just got black and white, or, you know, you can change the colors it actually uses.
So, I'm sorry, is it just you draw four pictures and then it makes a GIF out of them?
Yep. And you control the size and the speed and whether it's like got this pixels like
or you can make it look like a light bulb or like a Lego?
Yeah.
That's the
It's
okay.
Like a Game Boy aesthetic, kind of, you know? It's so...
Yeah, you know, I missed Game Boy... Like, I missed that phase.
Right. I was a little too old for it.
Well, the interesting thing is, if you look at what Amrain, you know, writes about it, it's really a Tamagotchi aesthetic. I mean, this is super low-res even compared to a Game Boy. Game Boy had a much bigger screen and, you know, four different shades of gray, and this is so much more restrictive, too. And anyway, I've fallen in love with it. I think it's super neat. I love playing with this sort of thing. I love seeing other people playing with it. I love seeing what people figure out they can do in that tiny, tiny constraint.
Someone did an elephant shitting. Like,
yes.
It's pissing, Matt. It's Metafilter.
Oh, right. Quansar callback. That's amazing.
Anyway, I super love Super Micro Paint. I'm so happy that Amrain made this thing. The Metafilter thread about it was very fun. People posting stuff. And yeah, so that was awesome. So what was your favorite thing of the thing that I failed?
Well, now I'm worried about this birdhouse that I'm not appreciating. But I enjoyed I made a LED array wall, 3,200 pixels LED thing.
Whoa.
And I'm going to bring it to Burning Man. But this is just what it is in my house.
Yes, this was super neat.
Like, super techy, like very projecty project. Like, this isn't a Twitter bot. This is like a big thing that's made of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is by Bob Dow.
Yeah.
Long, I mean, I feel, it's funny, like I'm looking at his user number and I'm like, oh, he's kind of a new user, but he's got 100,000 user number. And he's been on Metafilter for quite some time, participates a little bit. But yeah, made this really cool thing, which is a prototype for an amazing cool thing he's going to bring to Burning Man, LED wall, and he talks about how he built it.
Is that expensive? Probably not. LEDs are cheap.
Well, yeah, I mean, it probably scales up, but...
Wow, look at all those wires. That's scary.
Yeah, but look at how it looks when he's, like, taking a picture and then showing it on the thing. And can you imagine what it's going to look like? You know.
It doesn't look super portable. Like, I kind of like it's wall mounted and stuff. Like, wow, he's going to have to tear it all apart.
You just slap it on the back of a flaming bicycle. And then,
it's like a carpet in one of the photos, sort of like you can roll it up.
Yeah. That's wow. You can see what it looks like when he's building it.
Is it probably all Raspberry Pis or something?
Well, he talks about it in.
I'm looking in the wrong place. Okay, cool. Five controllers, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so he had to, like, mess around with it to get it going, but now he can push stuff out over Ethernet and blah, 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 but he's gonna make it even bigger and even awesomer. Pretty
that
great, right?
Nuts. Yeah.
Josh, can you tell me what the birdhouse was?
The birdhouse. So, there's a birdhouse called Junko's Pub. This was built by a Mephite named Stokast. It's a tiny Newfoundland pub for a bird.
What?
Yep. And that's
no.
It's just I keep forgetting to check in regularly, so I still haven't been able to see an actual live bird in there, but there's a bunch of captures on the webpage.
This is the thing. This is like the hamsters eating burritos that was everywhere a few months ago. Like, this is as good.
It's so great.
I have stupid Oregon Junkos like crazy in my backyard.
Junkos. Just telling you.
Ours are grayer? So wait, there's no live cam. Where's the live camera?
It's up in the top left. There's just often not birds in there.
Oh.
So, you know, it's not a whole lot to look at. It's just an empty pub when...
oh my God, it's so small.
When there's no customers. But yeah.
I get
black. It's adorable. There's a Metafilter post about it. It's just like... You know, I don't even care if there had never actually been a bird in there. Just doing it is great.
Well, and the point was really interesting is that for a lot of people, having a little window onto something, especially if you're working in some godforsaken cube, is is the best. Like, Jim, there's a hallway monitor where Jim works, and he's always putting, like, live penguin cam or owl cam or whatever, because you're buried in a building, and they're the bio labs, and so it's interesting to, you know, have a thing to look at that's natural. And yeah. And this is exactly the same thing. Look at those Junkos. They're beautiful. Beautiful.
Some funny reaction gifts they make, too.
Yeah, no, I like the collection of stuff on there.
So good.
And I had recently seen, somewhat relatedly, this Twitter library for birds, which is the same thing. It's a library for, I mean, you can see it, but it's basically the same thing. It's like a bird feeder, but they made it look like a library. But they put pictures up on their Twitter feed of who's visiting and make library jokes, and every librarian in the world thinks they are hilarious.
Man, these
hilarious.
Birds are hilarious. This is a very messy library.
Yes, well, secretly birds. They all are, let me tell you.
I had a working bird cam in the backyard that I could barely reach Wi-Fi and upload to Flickr. I have all the parts necessary to do this. I just need to work on my diorama production, I guess.
Seriously, have Fiona, you know, to figure out what would be hilarious for her. Bird roller coaster, who knows?
green screen, so you can just put them in the middle of movies.
Don't get tricky. Think about, aim for success, Matt. Think about something you would actually do.
Well, you know, actually, if you could find a way to, like, pair up, like, the chroma with, like, random YouTube videos, that'd be kind of... I don't know how that would work exactly.
You put the birds in, like, movie trailers or
this
something.
This pub does have a little TV in it.
Yeah. I love the little Coke machine. That's insane.
The whole thing is
delightful. It's a lot of great detail.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I am sorry I missed it the first time around.
I'm excited you missed it.
So you can actually show me a thing.
Yeah, I can actually... Hey, you haven't seen this thing, so that's
Stocast,
awesome.
Nice work. Stocast. That just was wonderful. Made me happy.
On other projects... Wow. Neat.
Also, I don't know if this is what the username is a reference to, but it might be a playful misspelling of the idea of stochastic, which... You know,
I assume that's
it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, you know, after my own heart, Markov chains and all that. One other quick project. This is just neat to play with. Ludwig van built a synthesizer in
JavaScript,
you know, web page. Yeah.
Oh,
with a GitHub repo.
What do I do? There's so many dials.
You play with the synthesizer. It'll be more meaningful for people who are a little bit, old school synths than people who are like, I don't know what you do with a synth. But anybody can play with it, and it's kind of neat. And it supports MIDI right off the out of the gate if you have a MIDI controller, and that's pretty cool.
Is there any way to share something you make? Oh, yeah, there's a share button. Does that save all the settings?
You mean like the share link?
No, I mean, does it save like every setting?
I think it's saving the settings on there so you can share patches with other people.
Patches.
That's a thing people call them.
Yeah. I just love jargon.
Yep.
Wow. I saw a patch and it's completely different sounding than what I get. That's cool.
Synthesizers are neat. I've been playing a bunch with Reason, which is a big, robust piece of
90s
synthesizer emulation sort of production software.
Every 15-year-old in the 90s would make music with Reason, right?
No. Reason's a little bit newer than that. I don't know exactly when Reason started, but people in the 90s, it was people playing with, like, mod trackers, seems like, was the big thing. If Reason was out, it was very new, would have had to be.
Reason cracks everywhere I'd go. Reason this, Reason that.
What are you talking about?
Maybe 1.0 was that old. I don't know. It's a sort of synthesizer sort of piece of software that I recently... got reacquainted with, which is where the theme that we used this month for the podcast was built in.
As hell. We're going to go with the Daft Punk one. It's really good.
We will have had gone with the Daft Punk thing.
Can you calm everybody down and tell them that's not the new podcast?
It's not the new podcast theme.
I had some anxiety about this.
It's been so long since I've been meaning to do a new podcast theme that I finally got around to doing something that was new podcast theme related. But it's, you know, it feels much more like
podcast theme.
It's surprisingly difficult to properly commit. I'll keep working on it. I got another month now, right?
Good.
You know, so I'll just keep pushing
some time,
it off,
man.
Exactly. I'll record something in Huntsville.
That would be great. You got nothing to do but woodshed down there.
Say, oh, sorry.
What?
I was reading some words, and so I'm not processing sound. So I got woodshed.
You got nothing to do but woodshed down there.
Yes. Hide in an AC apartment and record music.
Yes. I hope it's awesome.
I think it will be. All right, well, let's talk about Metafilter.
Great. Metafilter or Ask Metafilter?
Metafilter.
Ah, I just closed the tab. I didn't mean to.
Damn.
Dang.
Dang it all.
All right.
I just made a post today.
What?
I had made a post right before the podcast started because I want to talk to you guys
about
it.
Tell us about your post.
Let me just kick it off Cortex style.
Every
worst nightmare we have as running a community, right? What was our worst nightmare? When someone's just insufferable for like 3 years, you go...
Getting murdered by a harassing
Is this person
user?
Getting paid?
You guys have business.
Oh, is this the
like
Russian troll thing?
Yes, the Russian troll factory. It's a
what
real thing.
What are you talking about?
It was in the... So, I was surprised this wasn't on Metafilter already, because New York Times Magazine usually publishes things like 5 days before Sunday, you know? Like, they'll publish on a Thursday with a date of the next Sunday. So, I assume this was an old article, but I guess it just came out this morning. And it's about this Adrian Chen, you know, formerly of Gizmodo and lots of famous publications.
He wrote this.
Yeah, he spent like 6 months... he went to St. Petersburg and everything to like research this. There's basically this fucking disinformation campaign that's like bankrolled by Putin's like cronies to try and make Russia seem better by just being horrible people on the internet, on forums and Twitter and Facebook, with these giant networks of fake accounts, and they like make up stories that are just... It's insane. They just talk about, like, a chemical plant exploded in Louisiana is how it starts. And they're like, it didn't happen. And there's, like, hundreds of accounts, and they're trending hashtags, and they're freaking students out at a university nearby, and nothing happened, really. It was just them. It's insane. It's so fun. It's, like, it's all my worst fears come to life, which is, like... When people are just, like, insufferable to us and horrible, you know, for years.
You at least know they're real people, or you hope you know they're real
people.
We hope.
I always thought in the back of my mind, like, is this person paid to do this? Why would they keep doing this month after month?
Right. Nobody doubles down on this type of bullshit except somebody who's doing it for a job.
Yeah, and these are like... And the weird part is, when you read it, and Adrian gets in the details, it's pretty clunky, right? Like, their English is bad, the grammar's not great... And you can kind of make the connections. You can figure out who the fake accounts are. Like, which... Like, you look at all their Twitter followers, and all those Twitter followers are exactly the same. They all use the same kind of... And you're like, okay, this isn't super sophisticated, but it's sophisticated enough to trick a lot. Thousands of people, and they wreak havoc and stuff. And you're like, the next version of this, when they're just, like, a little bit better English speakers and better researchers, will be terrifying.
Well, and that's kind of the thing about all sort of, like... wide-ranging scam behaviors, right? Like, they don't need to get everybody to believe them. They don't need to get you to believe them. They need to get sort of the slightly credible internet hot potato machine, because as soon as you get some kind of slightly dippy occasional Facebook user to start amplifying your signal, then it just goes viral that way, and you don't even have to push it anymore. I mean, I think about this a lot when you see things like suddenly blow up on Twitter. Like, I feel like a bad person, but I'm like, I wonder if that's really happening.
Yeah,
because like, I'm at home. I don't know what's really going on in the places, and so you try and corroborate, knowing the ways that you know to corroborate. Yeah. But it's super, it's complex, right? And this is how conspiracy theories start. Right? That there's not quite enough information to prove or disprove them, maybe? And, of course, with fucking Twitter, like, circling back, not really handling it when people abuse the platform to do stuff like this. What do you do? This is great, though. This is a great article.
Yeah, you think about, like, they're using the tactics. Remember that Kony stuff? That Kony 2012, right? Where, like, it seemed like a good thing, and it turns out it was this weird shadow right-wing bullshit propaganda thing. And, like, man, this is scary, scary stuff. This is, like, gnarly.
Well, and Adrian Chen did a great job talking about it, it seems like.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
fascinating. I'll go read this whole thing once I'm done talking to you.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, God, this is what we always... Like, people pay to be shitty on forums. And they're basically trying to discredit all online discourse, like, in the process. Just tear it all down so nobody believes anything. Or at least they think, you know, Putin's a great guy and Russia's doing a great thing. It's so weird. It's so fucked up.
Well, and it's funny. That's one of the things that... I've been, like, watching third season of House of Cards now, and, like, that's one of the notable absent things from House of Cards is, you know, you've got the weird creepy dude who tries to track people using sort of NSA spy material, but you definitely don't get the sort of misinformation in the comments aspect to public opinion stuff, you know? It's just like, go talk to the union people and tell them this, and then they'll vote for you. And not like, how do you deal with the anti-vax lunatics who are in some... Like, they just don't even talk about sort of online discourse as being relevant. And maybe it's true, it's completely irrelevant, but I feel like in the political world nowadays, it's more of a thing.
Also, I think that Frank Lutz world of junk, like that kind of like...
I'm not sure what that is.
Frank Lutz is the guy who invents all the terrible right-wing language that everyone parrots.
Oh, okay. So
Frank Lutz is the guy who comes up with the word death tax, and then he tells, you know, Roger...
Does he work for the Koch brothers, or who is he?
He's some sort of K Street guy who works for the GOP, and like... That's how they all get on message. You know, like, one day everyone on Fox News says the word death tax. It's because of him. And, like,
Frank
he's
Eugene
like,
Lutz.
Yeah,
oh,
he's
Luntz.
Horrible. Yeah. He is, like, the worst. I mean, who's the Berkeley guy, George something, the elephant in the room guy? He wrote a book about Frank Lutz and saying that liberals need to get better at manipulating language. But it's, like, a terrible, like, you don't want to play their game.
He's
where you
a
come
Jew.
Up with terrible throwaway phrases, and you like, and you, it's just like emotional manipulation. I thought House of Cards, they don't really talk about how they're going to, you know, all collaborate to, you know, slam some
sure.
new law through with like terrible language, you know. Yeah,
wow,
this guy's
this
invented
is amazing.
Every awful phrase ever. Like,
and his parents invented the first forensic dentistry book.
Huh. So he's got a weird sense of humor about himself, which is also weird. Like, he knows what he's doing is kind of evil. And I think he's probably on the way down. But, man, yeah. That stuff is lacking from House of Cards. But House of Cards is not a documentary. So.
Well, and it's, House of Cards is so much more about, like, you know, the specific egos of the few people involved. That the sort of pervasive machine stuff gets more of a glancing.
That's right. Treatment. I saw him on Colbert. That's where I saw him. The Luntz guy.
Yeah. Anywho.
Well, on a completely different subject, because I can't think of a segue, one post I liked was this neat little thing called Type Drummer that
confessed.
Oh, everybody loved this. I didn't quite understand what was happening.
It's just, it's a weird little drumming arrangement toy where you can type in random letters if you feel like it, and each letter of the alphabet is assigned a different drum sound. So you can put together like coherent beats by putting in specific structured selections of letters and spaces. Or you can just type like a cat and see what it sounds like.
Is it only words? It doesn't work with numbers or symbols?
Yeah, I think anything that's not a letter, I think it just treats as a rest. So so numbers, punctuation, spaces will all end up just sounding like no note for that moment. And you can do triplets by throwing them in parentheses, but that was a little bit wonky. Anyway,
oh, that's what I was. Yeah,
it's neat. It's a super fun little thing, and people in Metafilter have made stuff. There's a big thread on Reddit of people throwing in beats they came up with as well.
And
it's just
like,
it's so light,
songs.
It's so lightweight that you can fiddle with it really quickly, which is the fun thing. You know, it doesn't take a bunch of work to get into it.
Oh my God, I gotta know your review of Kung Fury. So I have not had time to sit down for the half hour of Kung Fury. This was like a hilarious, the most 80s thing ever kind of trailer came out like a year or two ago. And they did a Kickstarter, and then they're going to make this half-hour movie, and they finally did it, and it's out there. I haven't watched it yet. Have you seen it, Josh?
My review is that I have not seen it yet either.
Oh, come on.
I know it exists, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Justin, have you watched the trailer at least?
It's amazing. No, I'm just watching part of this now. These guys are too buff for the 80s, is what I'm saying.
It's just like lasers and hilarious. Everything, it looks like a
video game. Round glasses, bandanas.
It's so funny.
No, I did not see that. That is terrific.
It's been on Metafilter a couple times in the past with each like new development with it.
But, yeah, I've seen it mentioned around. I just never really quite got totally on my radar. So I'm like, oh yeah, that thing that was going to happened is about as far as I've gotten with it so far.
Okay. I have got to sit down and watch it.
Yes. Well, you watch it, I'll watch it, we'll discuss it. It's, yes. I liked this post. This was, I believe, first post, I think, is why
by
I
Bismol.
Noticed it. By Bismol. About bones. Just colored bones. It's a collection of... Well, it's not a first post. It just caught my eye, I guess. They recently started posting in the last month or so. They're a new user. But yeah, it's just like a collection of sort of medical articles about various strange bone coloration situations that come up. So it's just
a little bit of neat randomness.
I love posts like
this. Yeah. Where they actually go and curate some stuff and link them all together, whereas you wouldn't have, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't have come across these things together. This is just someone's like, color bones, yeah. I'll make a post.
These are really random. Instagram photo, dry PDF from a couple dry PDFs from journals. Like, this is amazing.
It's a taster menu, man. It's a bunch of stuff put together.
This is a picture of a squirrel. Oh, wow. And there are little pink skeletons under the black light. Fascinating.
Yep.
I want to know how that happened. You're in your lab, and then you like turn on your black light. Oh, man. Check it out.
If there's one thing you learn, it's never turn on your black light.
Oh, my God. Protein stains everywhere. Yeah, another sort of fun little thing I liked is a post about shower hair masterpieces. Artist named Lucy Gafford.
Do you remember that shower hair animated GIF thing that we pulled out? I think at one point in time.
I don't.
Oh God! It must have been. Maybe it was Milkshake, but somebody who did like a huge animated GIF of like a shower hair thing.
Oh, neat.
These are cool. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah, these are all just like real minimalist sketches.
By Countess Alina.
These are hilarious.
Let me see if I can find it.
Shower gross. Movie.
This is one of those things that's really difficult to Google, I think. Shower hair. GIF.
Well, while she's looking, what else you got, Matt?
Oh, man. That is... It's revolting at the same time. I hate hair in the shower. Ugh.
Well, you've got a short haircut, right? Problem solved. Now you just need your own bathroom. I swear that's how, you know, fancy rich people do it. They just go get their own... They get their own bathroom, and then whatever their annoying spouse does, they don't have to worry about.
Did you see the pictures
are ridiculous. I'm never going to find this.
What? God, what is wrong with my copy and paste today? Jesus. Let's see if that works. Okay, that did work.
When you try and copy and paste and you fail, there should be like a voice that comes in, everything goes gray and
hey, dummy, that's the same link as last time.
What was that? Jessamine?
Oh, yes.
Hey, dummy, that's the same link as last time? That's what the voice should say. I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
I can't find this shower hair thing, so I'll just rejoin the conversation.
Okay.
There was a really cool comic about the whole McDonald's lawsuit, you know.
Oh, and I love think this one.
We already know, right, that the lawsuit that people use as a frivolous lawsuit shortcut is lazy and stupid, but this is a really good... It talks about the actual case. Like, McDonald's was so horrible that, like, the jury was like, we have to give this woman more money because, like, the lawyers are so despicable. I mean, like, oh, my God. I had no idea... Like, the actual text of what the lawyers said in the courtroom was so awful. It was basically like, She's an elderly woman, and she basically...
She doesn't have that long to live, so...
She burned her private parts, which she's not going to use, because she's, like, 80. I mean, who's going to have sex with her? Like,
super rude.
They said things like this, and, like, the jury turned on him. It's really amazing. So it's good on the first... I was going to say, it's good on the first level of, like, oh, hey, there's more to that story than you thought. And then there's the second level of, like, it's so much worse than you thought.
And then there's the third level, which is this is done by Shannon Wheeler, who does the Too Much Coffee Man comic. Like, I followed Shannon Wheeler as the Too Much Coffee Man cartoonist. And so getting to see Shannon doing this is extra double plus awesome.
It's a pretty awesome style. It almost looks like R. Crumb. Like, it's really cool.
Well, and the Too Much Coffee Man stuff is hilarious. He? I think Shannon's a dude. Shoot, I need to figure this out. Shannon!
I know dude Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon's a guy. But Too Much Coffee Man, yeah, is just very funny and kind of indie. And they're on the... He's published on the Nib. On Medium also. So
cool.
I've like kind of reacquainted with him as I've been spending more time there. And yeah, Too Much Coffee Man is sort of this weird, reluctant, anxious superhero. So I liked it on that level also because I've always loved that comic.
Yeah, Too Much Coffee Man is basically the official superhero of alternative weekly news magazines.
Yeah, wears a weird outfit, has a little coffee cup for a hat, like just very ridiculous all the way. So I liked the thing that was earlier in the month, and I kind of liked it, kind of didn't like it. It was Room 641A's post on the Beth Project, which was basically a series of photographs of a woman who lost a bunch of weight. It's a nice, easy to use website, but you know, through the miracles of modern photography, it's pictures of the woman before she lost weight right next to pictures of the woman after she lost weight, but like, and dressed up kind of like one is like Laurel and Hardy, and half of it is the picture of her being heavy dressed up like Hardy, and half of her is the picture of her lighter dressed up like Laurel, and they're together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Click
or,
on
or,
it.
Or a nun and Maria von Trapp. Both holding their arms up on a Swiss hillside, or
yeah, or Frida Kahlo and Diego, what's his butt? Frida and Diego, and so they're just super interesting, the pictures. But then of course the thread, because of issues people have concerning weight gain, weight loss, blah 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 blah. It became like a Rorschach for how people sort of decided what was going on there. Like, some people really liked it and thought it was really cool. A lot of people read a lot into stuff that maybe wasn't there, maybe was there, whether gastric bypass surgery is appropriate or ridiculous, et cetera, et cetera. So,
well, yeah, it's just one of those topics that people have a lot of, varied feelings based on personal life experiences.
Yeah, and so the thread itself, from my perspective, was interesting to read because the post itself was interesting. The pictures were lovely. It was a neat idea. And then people kind of riffed on it, and it didn't turn into... I mean, it didn't go on very long, actually, but it didn't turn into kind of a rah, 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 all against all situation. But it was kind of a very metafiltery, interesting thread to me.
These are amazing photographs.
Aren't they?
Like, this is a talented photographer. Jesus Christ. How do you composite yourself in front of yourself? I guess Photoshop.
Yeah, Photoshop is the answer.
Yes.
You do some good cropping and feathering at the
edges. Yeah, yeah, I guess I see some elbow action.
Speaking as someone who has a lot of experience doing a pretty shitty job of that, I assure
I'm really
you
good at bad Photoshop.
Me. Yeah?
Yeah.
We should have a bad Photoshop collaboration sometime.
Bad Photoshop jam.
Well, I don't even have
It'll be like Photoshop.
Photoshop
tennis, but it'll be like Photoshop shitty broken Pong machine.
That's exactly what we should call it. Well, and since my computer's upgraded to Yosemite, you know, I was using Photoshop 4 or something like that.
Wow.
And Yosemite's like, you don't get that anymore. Like, I'm going to save you from yourself. And so now I've been using GIMP, which is okay. But, I mean, like all open source projects, it's like, just learn the way to do the thing. It doesn't have to be easy or rah, 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 rah. It's all very complicated. So now I've learned these bizarre workarounds for things that were very easy in old Photoshop.
You know, on modern Macs, I think it's Pixelmator is like the $30, like 90% of Photoshop is in
that
Pixelmator.
That is good intel.
Like, Pixelmator, not bad. There might be a better one. That was by some sort of software. I use
Photoshop Elements, which is not amazing, but
it's also
relatively cheap, you know, and it gets the job done for me because, again, like, you know, it's just I have a dumb hobbyist idea and I make it happen.
Well, and didn't Adobe go full cloud now? So you subscribe to their stuff?
I think so, yeah. And I mean, if you own an older version, you still own it. So like I'll be using this version of Elements until, you know, the x86 architecture goes away.
I think Photoshop 6 is
But
the,
wait,
like,
did
the
you
last
upgrade
one.
To Yosemite? I thought Yosemite was the x86 architecture going away.
It might be. Well,
no, I have not been keeping a careful enough track of x86 to know if that's actually still around. So,
but
basically, yes I'm cheap, and so I'm not going to rent it because,
$10 a month like, is the minimum cheapness you can get away with.
And I don't have that level of need. I paid like $90 for Elements 5 years ago. I'm just going to stick with that as long as I can. Just
Pixelmator's $29 on the App Store. That's not bad. It's pretty good. It's got layers and everything, you know, things. It's got text. It's got brushes.
Oh, I remember the actual first post I was thinking of. This is actually from last month, but I don't think I mentioned it. It was just a nice post about some dance work by a dancer named Maya Plisetskaya. By user Random Inconsistencies, who had wanted to make a first post and ran it by the contact form, and worked with them a little bit to get it put together, and they did it. And it was a dancer I was totally unfamiliar with, so it was neat to see a post put together and to see someone make a first post. So it was just kind of a nice thing.
Neat. Wait a second. This is from April. I missed the beginning.
Yeah. This is from April. I think I had meant to mention it last podcast, but forgot. So,
I do like Ravel's Bolero.
Yeah. Wait, the woman dancing is 50? She doesn't look 50. That's cool.
Dancers keep in shape, man.
Dancers.
Yeah, wow, she can still do ballet on point. Good God, that looks painful.
Oh, and speaking of theater, here's a thing that came up the other day. So there's this viral... This is funny. This is a post about a viral video that shows up every June 1st, and the thread is almost entirely a discussion of people's varying experiences of ever having even heard of this. So it's like viral if it's viral, and if it's not viral, then you've never heard of it. And Leslie Uggams is a, you know, musical theater person, and if you know her because she's a big musical theater person, but if you don't, you're like, who?
I was trying to figure out if I knew her. Like, the name was super familiar.
80s television, right?
Yeah.
She was always on the Battle of Network Stars or something. I just always heard that name. And starring Leslie Uggams. Well, I've never seen this video.
She was on the Leslie Uggams Show, Hollywood Squares, Muppet Show, Magna P.I., All My Children.
I've never seen this video.
Well, yeah, and if you watch it and you haven't seen it, it's a totally unremarkable thing because it's just someone walking along at some sort of outdoor live musical event, you know, doing some staged singing and getting up on stage, and then clearly it went somewhere from there. But then it plays it back, and then it plays it back, and it shows the subtitles, and it becomes clear if... And this would probably be clear if you really, really knew the song she was singing, but, you know, it becomes clear that she is not singing words to any human song for much of the song. And the post is about the video, but also the main link is an interview with her where she explains what the hell happened in this video, where she just starts singing total fucking nonsense in a super, you know, brash, sticking with it, the show must go on for a
while. Can you spoil it for me and explain what the hell happened?
Was she high?
No. So they were doing this, and the short version is... They're doing this outdoor musical performance event thing, and it had rained like crazy the night before, and it rained like crazy that morning, cleared up for the actual presentation, but the cue card guy was, you know, showing her cue cards and backing away off camera because this was not a song that was, like, in her repertoire, so she just needed the prompts for the words. And he just fucking bails. Like, he just... eats shit on the grass and does not get up, and like it's a live balls. Event and it's moving forward, so she's got a track with a camera, so she just starts like Richard's and you know, if you listen to just the sound of her voice in the presentation, she is 100%
you assume
there.
She's singing a song,
yeah,
until like, you closely pay attention to it,
exactly, and then it's just complete random scabbity doo. It's not quite scabbity doo, so it doesn't jump out as like, oh, and now she's doing a scat bit. It's just like, you know, she watermelon bubblegums it and
what
comes up things that sound
bubblegumming it.
That's like what you do if you're an extra.
Watermelon.
Yeah, you're stage murmuring, but you don't want to literally say blah 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 blah. So you say something
you
with
watermelon,
some
watermelon.
So nice mix of syllables. Watermelon, bubblegum.
That was like in grade school. If you forgot the lyrics to any song, you're in the back row of chorus. Everyone just sings watermelon, watermelon, watermelon because it looks like you're singing with everybody.
Yeah, your mouth is
busy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Life hack.
Next time I'm in chorus, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole thread is pretty fun because it's a weird mix of people are like, oh, that fucking video. And people are like, what the hell is this? And then talking about, like, you know, sticking it out when you have no idea what's going on lyrically and so on. So it was a fun thing.
Fun.
I got to watch it.
All right. I don't think I had other Metafiltery stuff, but I have a lot of Ask Metafiltery stuff.
Well, I think I had one last Metafilter thing from this morning that hit the popular list. Is amazing, like an amazing mega post on income equality.
That oh, jeez.
I spent like a half hour reading it this morning when I woke up at like 6, and I was like, this is really good. It's just like, it links to more things and how Iceland is doing the right thing, and it's amazing.
That is a lot of post, is what that
yeah.
is.
Yeah. It's kind of like a lot of research on income equality thrown together. But, yeah, the first 3 articles I read were pretty good, and I was going to dive into the rest. But it's got almost 100 favorites in a few hours.
Who cares? It's long. That's easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean to be rude, but like, yeah.
I got to run the stats on that again sometime, because I think we did establish last time we looked at it years ago that there was a correlation between sheer length and favorite count on stuff that, yeah, there's definitely an effect there.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point where, like, I read the first 3 or 4 articles, and I'm like, there's, like, 8 more hours of work here I'm going to mark it to come back to later. And that's probably what those favorites mean.
Referenceability. Well, I'll mention a couple more quick things, and then we can move on to Ask. This is just weird, and had a little bit of Metafilter angle, as it turned out. A Pakistani company that does basically a fake diploma mill scam thing. Which, you know, you can sort of imagine various aspects of what's going on there. But then the funny thing is then Matt got a letter from them saying, hey, you need to blah, 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 cease and desist because...
There's libel and slander.
Matt, you, Matt.
Actionable.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God.
So Matt tweeted it and I tossed it in the thread. And also, like, someone has since been arrested from there, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
CEO taken to custody after a raid on their Karachi offices. So apparently they didn't see indeed the correct people, I guess. But yeah, the whole thing is just weird. And I thought it was funny that Matt got a letter about that.
Also,
just because somebody
is-
linked to it? Oh my God, that's hilarious. When's the last time you got a C&D order?
I know, it's crazy, from some barristers. But
Karachi.
The best part is, like, here's our response, and it's their internal intranet, like, address. You can't read it in the public internet.
It's the dumbest.
Like, X web server dev new port 705. Like, that's their internal,
who
you know.
Who pays them?
I know. Well, they make millions of dollars on diploma mill stuff, so they can pay lawyers.
Because they're diploma mill. So if you don't mind just getting a mill factory diploma, I guess it works for you?
I mean, they could have paid a lawyer $1,000 to make one letter that they just dropped in every URL they could find. Like, write a little Perl script and...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be easy to do a mail merge. another quick mention, this is just neat if you're into this sort of thing. There's a post from a few weeks ago about a game developer named Ite Karen talking comprehensively about using camera movement in 2D video games, like the way you move the view screen versus where the player is at any given time. And if you're not particularly into that sort of like theory of video game stuff, it's probably like, this is just a bunch of math and jargon. But if you are interested in that at all, it's super great. It's really, he does a great job of looking at basically every single trick people have come up with over the last 30 years to figure out how to move the camera to keep stuff visible on screen for the player, and how much it depends on what you're trying to do with a game. How
posted by Folk Cypher Analysis, which is funny.
Yes, very appropriate.
Wow, this is amazing. Yeah, with like animated really GIFs.
So it's got animated GIFs with and showing like, boundaries imposed on it to clarify how the camera was working, what triggers it. And you look at the stuff, like there's several examples from Super Mario World that show just how thoughtful and complicated.
Super Meat Boy.
Because it is super tricky, right? Because obviously if you have a thing that just appears from one side and it's like physically impossible for you to get to it, that diminishes the fun in the game immediately. So you have to... I mean, I assume that's what he's talking about without having read this.
Yeah, the camera plays a big part in not making situations feel like total bullshit. Like you need, as a player, to feel like you have a sense of what's going on.
Or that if you looked in the right place, you could get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's so not, funny that it's to not see. Impossible.
So many of my favorite games in the post explaining it.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow. Like, I played Moon Patrol like crazy. I played Excitebike like crazy. Oh my god. And then, like, rods and cones in your eyeballs work like this, and this is why it works. Like, it's so
nuts. I have
not
played any of these games.
Oh my god. This is awesome. And this is what VR people need to figure out. Right, like
VR's got its own set of weird camera challenges. Partly because it's tethered to someone's head, and all of a sudden, assumptions you can otherwise
make. Everyone I know who works in VR talks about the. We really need to solve the motion sickness problem. like half the people who use this want to throw up after 10 minutes, and my wife is like a visual, you know, field researcher, and she's like, well, they're doing this, this, and this, and they shouldn't be doing that, and you should never show forward movement in this way, and like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a whole thing, and I hope they figure it out better, because I've enjoyed playing with like an Oculus Rift a little bit, but I've also been surprisingly put off by motion sickness with it, compared to like, I play tons of 3D video games on, you know, normal monitors and never have a problem. But yeah, so because I'm really excited about the whole VR thing, but that's a big problem if you, like, half your user base is like, oh yeah, this is really neat, blah, then
well I found was cool. I mean, I guess if you're doing forward motion video games, that's crazy, but the simple demos I've done that are really amazing are just, I guess, 360 degree camera YouTubes. Like old IMAX video cameras, and you film some scene, and then you do a heads-up display. And so last weekend, I was playing with someone a friend came back from Google I.O. with the Google Cardboard. It is literally an amazing... It's just a piece of cardboard that holds a phone over plastic lenses. It costs $20.
Yeah.
And you stick your phone in there, and you run an app that does the right-left. So there's these videos of, like, people on a hot air balloon, and you can look all the way down to the ground, and then they jump off and parachute off of it, and you watch them with... You look up and you can see the fire, like, and then you look down and the guy jumps and you're like, holy cow! And it's like,
wasn't
wherever
there,
your
like,
head
a Bruce
looks.
Sterling story about this?
Oh, maybe.
Like, where you can, like, other people record life things and then the rest of us just sit at home on our couches and watch them through our pretend headsets.
Well, that was like Snow Crash. Isn't that Snow Crash?
No, that's like Strange Days. Strange Days with Ralph Fiennes.
No, I never saw that.
Oh. Snow Crash, the guys that walk around filming everything all the time.
No. Well, I mean, there may have been a gargoyle in Snow Crash, but Snow Crash was all about the VR world.
This might be a PK Dick story, actually, come to think about
that
it.
That could be.
All right. I'm sorry,
was
Matt.
Was there a weird space sex scene?
Probably.
There always is. But yeah. VR is fun.
Okay. One other quick thing, and then we'll move on.
What do you mean, one other quick thing? You've been quick-thinging us for like 10 minutes.
I just... The Berenstain Bears? You know the Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain.
Yeah, I know. And I'm one of the Berenstain. Obviously, it's Berenstain people. And it just blew my mind. And so, it's a nice post. If you're... where you fall on that...
What? They used to be Stain?
Well, it always was stain. It's always been stain. It never was steam. I had to read the post carefully to make sure that that was the actual claim, and then do my own little bit of research to make sure that was actually true. Anyway,
so can you help me with this so that I don't have to read anything? It is stain, but
it
people
is stain.
Think it's Stein or Steen.
Yeah, a lot of people remember it as having been Stein or Steen, you know, but it's always been stain.
And okay, so I was right because I work in a library, and you weren't because you didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I grew
and
up
this
in
is links to a Google like, Sweden page. What the fuck? Piece of shit.
I don't remember what all the links
I
were.
Guess but, I
again by foci for analysis.
I said Bernstein, but I guess I always thought it was spelled with an E. Weird.
See, and I just
I mean
know,
there is an E in it earlier.
Yes, true. That's it's the infectious E. That's probably a linguistic phenomenon. It's like a Dexter number. Anyway,
so
I'll stop one more thing.
The whole thing's about false memories, right?
Yeah,
the whole thing's about how we just think.
Nelson Mandela died in jail years and years ago. People
were so
misremember.
Convinced. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. And the actual post is in part kind of about the idea that this is because of, you know, possibly because there are alternate dimensions where these things did happen and we have... But that's a whole other thing. But yeah,
and
read the thread. Read the thread. Let's not get into it here. But it's, you know, it's another wrinkle there. Anyway. We talk about Ask Metafilter. Jasmine,
how
would you
about
like to ask
it?
Metafilter?
Well, this was where my bird link came from because, you know, one of those kind of evergreen questions that shows up every now and again. Birds. Why do some birds hop and some birds walk? I'm pretty sure we've actually talked about this on the podcast
hopping
before.
And walking?
But this is by username Klaxon Auga, which is a favorite username of mine. And, you know, people sort of talk about it.
Wow.
Basically, like there's lots of different kinds of animals.
Yeah. Birds are not a monolithic
there's
group.
Not, yeah, there's not a very easy answer except that, wow, just calling a thing a bird and thinking it has much in common with another bird is...
Hey, as long as it's got a beak and a cloaca, I'm happy.
Speaking of birds, there's an amazing post about Leave Me Alone, Crows by Nox Perpetua.
Yes, yes.
Getting attacked by... There's no resolution to it, sadly, of like why they are constantly getting chased by crows. Not the same crow, just crows in general, and what can they do and why. And there's all this... Basically, the thread is filled with scary intelligence of crows talk, which is like, the more you talk to people about crows, the creepier they are. Just that they are way sharper than we give them credit for. I think of them as just stupid background birds, you know? Like,
Stay away from me, I stay away from them. But, I mean, in the walking, hopping thing, it's really weird to see them, like, eating some dead thing in the middle of the road, and then you, like, drive up to them, and then they just walk away just far enough so that you don't run over them with your car. But, like, they stay in the middle of the road.
They
don't
the
care. They do not
effort.
Give a shit. They just, you know, they don't want you to get any of their tasty squirrel, and so they just glare at you.
John Roderick told this amazing story once in Alaska about, and he's terrified of grackles and crows and ravens in general, that a friend was paid by, like, the Anchorage Sanitation Department to get all the crows away from the dump. Like, they just had a dump at the edge of town where people just dump trash, and then there are all these crows. Get rid of them! So he had, like, a BB gun. So he drives his white van out there, shoots them with a BB gun until they go away, and then every few days he'd go back and make sure they weren't there. And it turned out, over the course of a few weeks, basically anywhere he drove in his white van, like, crows would scatter. And it's just frightening that, like, crows
all over...
Because
they all talk to each other and...
Yeah, crows all over Anchorage, Alaska are terrified of this guy's van. And, like, they knew. And it's just so creepy, because you're like, they're just dumb crows. And, like, you're like... There's a crow network. There's a social network of crows. Like, how does this happen?
And it's called Facebeak.
I think after, oh, you could have went with Twitter. But,
not even. Shut
two on the
up,
nose.
Both of you.
he said, like, after 2 or 3 weeks, he couldn't find a crow anywhere he drove. Right.
See,
like,
I thought the answer was going to be different, that they would secretly crap all over his white van, and it becomes so covered in bird shit that he wound up getting, like, toxoplasmosis from it, or whatever you get from pigeon shit.
Oh, also crap chat. Serve. They use crap chat.
Stop.
Snap tweet.
Stop it.
They actually sound like real startups, too. That's the other hard part. Jokes.
Where's that synthesizer thing? I can just play the noise button until you guys stop.
You know what ferns like to use to...
The setup push. Makes me know.
Fronster.
Please stop.
You never...
That one's
that's like
good.
A Friendster joke. You weren't even born when Friendster came out.
I was two. I was three.
More ass.
I liked this this post from Greg Nogg from earlier last month. He's asking about how Ben Wyatt in Parks and Rec talks about the Cones of Dunshire.
Dunshire
being
ridiculous.
The ninth highest-selling multiplayer figurine-based strategy fantasy sequel game in history.
I was like, who's having pre-wedding jitters but this guy? This guy.
He's got some energy to burn. But, you know, he's basically, okay, what else qualifies for that hyper-specific thing? And people made their best effort.
No best answer.
Yep. Yeah. No one nailed it down, I guess. Lobster Mitten answered and then deleted her own comment. For missing a thing, so transparency and moderation.
I see her doing that occasionally. It's very funny.
Yeah, she's conscientious, you know. But I thought that was kind of great. The whole thing was just that is a good thing to try and nail down.
Nice. There was a post last month, right after we published the podcast, like hours afterwards.
Oh, I love this post. Escape from the Potato Planet.
A great, great post about, like, I'm a web developer, almost 40. Like,
almost 40.
I know. Whoa. It's a spring chicken, really. But I'm going to be entering... How am I going to be competitive in my 50s and 60s? I don't want to be a manager. I want to write code, but it's a young man's game, right? So how do I... And it goes into... And there's a lot of answers from people who are, like, in their 50s, and they're, like, using Node.js and stuff, and they're like, it's not hard. And some people say, like, move... You know, transition into a legacy system.
Learn COBOL now.
Yeah. Right. Like, I know someone in the 60s who does basically software that banks use that was written in the 1960s. Like, it is like assembler code that you could find these. There's people saying it's not that hard to freshen up your job skills, and it's fun to learn new languages. And there's other people that said, like, you know, you can kind of settle in and, you know, it's good to have old coders around, and, you know, you can't have a bunch of, like, 22-year-olds using every wacky new thing. Like, it helps to have someone with experience, you know, you don't have to manage and stuff. So it's pretty good. Lots of good advice.
I want to just make a brief sideways reference to a game that just got released called TIS 100, which is, in fact, an assembly language debugging puzzle game by a guy named... excellent game called Space Chem that was secretly sort of a programming game that pretended to be a chemistry game several years ago. Anyway, it's fantastic.
You have
I love
to print
it.
Out the manual? Come
you can
on.
Just, you can just look at it in a PDF. It's playing with the shtick that the idea is like you would be prompted to. What if, anyway, it's what great. That's all I wanted to say.
What if game A is debugging code that actually builds game B comes out
later? That's sort of the running joke is eventually he's going to put out a game where like what you do is you program his previous
game. Build the other game.
No, your next upcoming game. Yeah, yep. There's always another game.
Well, along the lines of that, I enjoyed... the Help Me Age Gracefully post from Mulcahy from the middle of May. But basically, like, I'm 48. You know, since my last birthday, I noticed I'm actually getting older. Needed glasses, back pain, blah, 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 blah. So what else should I do to kind of make sure I'm in decent shape? And, like, you know some of the answers, right? Like, if you don't smoke, don't start, bar, bar, bar. But... you know, stuff like doing yoga, stuff like working on your bones, stuff like sunscreen, stuff like flossing. It was just a nice thread for old timers to all talk about, you know, things you could do, or especially things that they did. Like, I'm in my late 60s, and here are the things that I decided to do in my 40s that really helped, blah. So it was a nice and helpful thread about getting older. Gentlemen.
Nice. I'm not older yet, so I'll remind myself to read that thread from the perspective of a 48-year-old when I turn 40, so I can.
You are getting older. You are aging.
No, I'm a perfect, flawless, ageless crystal entity. I just,
you wear glasses.
Yeah, but only for distances. It doesn't count. I can use the computer fine.
Only for all distances.
Plus, I got this new iPhone 6, so now I can read my phone.
You can just put a piece of cardboard in it and have it VR stream your life in the appropriate sizes for you.
Exactly.
Jim just switched over to being one of those guys that has three pairs of glasses.
Oh, yeah?
Like, reading glasses, distance glasses, prescription sunglasses. And, like, at some point in the last, like, 3 or 4 months, suddenly he's become my dad in a way. Like, he was never my dad before. Right? He never had anything in common with the man except, you know, some general things that, like, human beings have contact with but now he's got glasses cases and a front pocket that's always being held down with multiple glasses cases, and he winds up in the movie theater with his sunglasses because he forgot the other. And I was just like, how did this, like, you don't set out to date your parents, and if you're lucky, you don't wind up dating your parents in any way. But what happens if your partner becomes your parent over time and you had no idea?
That's some stealthy shit right there.
That's what I said, right? He doesn't look like him. They share very few characteristics, and all of a sudden, with the glasses, the last glasses shift.
It's like a double reverse Benjamin Button thing.
I know! And I feel like a ridiculous person being like, you can't carry three pairs of glasses. And he's like, I need them. And I'm like, I don't care. You don't need to see. You just can't look like my dad. You know?
Glasses
and
backpack.
Here's what you do. Instead of carrying three pairs of glasses, you make one pair of glasses with three sets of lenses stacked vertically on top of each other. And
rotate
join them.
It up and down with, like, a ratchet.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was thinking, like, ooh, wheel. I like that, too. I was going to say just, like, stack them sort of in a plane. So, like, you know, one set on top of another. And then have the nose bridge thing in between be replaced by something that can move up or down along
really
the line
like
glasses.
The idea that you just wear a piece of cardboard over your face and put your phone in it. And then you just have it video the world around you
right.
And adjust it to your prescription,
focus.
Right?
Right. Well, yeah,
that's
yeah.
The killer
if you can
app,
see,
am I right?
If you can see near, then yeah, you can just yeah. I think you're onto something.
If you can see near, oh, that's a good point.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I've heard people talk
since
about people
I have
with
perfect
significantly
vision,
bad vision.
I do not understand these
like,
problems.
They can put a phone, you know, 3 inches from their face and see. So if they can't find their glasses, but they can find their phone, they can use their phone to find their glasses by holding the camera right up to their eye and looking around.
Fascinating.
Like, which is not, I think, a particularly fun on. Solution, but hey, it works. You know,
so
it's there.
Many opportunities here.
Yeah.
You can also do the pinhole thing if there's enough light, you know,
you
look
can
through
do
a pinhole.
Pinhole thing.
Well, you know the pinhole thing? Like
yeah,
if you look through
pinhole
a tiny,
camera.
Tiny little hole, then things won't be blurry because...
Nothing blurry in my life. I have perfect vision.
Well,
I don't
not
understand
you.
These
now,
problems.
This is not you.
But what I'm saying is I don't understand it because I don't... I guess maybe I could read about people with glasses like you might read the little house
could,
on the prairie.
You could borrow someone's glasses to make yourself not be able to see because of their prescription and then experiment with trying
oh,
to adjust
God,
that.
Oh, God. I put on Jim's glasses every now and again and just fall immediately over, you know?
Yeah.
Like one of those fainting coats. Like, how do you live?
Oh, man. There's an amazing post on Ask Metafilter, which is like...
You overuse the word amazing, Matt. I'm here to tell you right
now.
Sorry. It's okay, right.
it's
need another superlative.
It's fantastic.
Maybe.
It's delicious.
Delicious.
Every few months, there's lots of where should I go in the world posts.
Sure.
This one has its tweak. Its difficulty level is, I want to be the only person around in somewhere peaceful by myself. And so there are tons of great, weird, out-of-the-way places and people telling stories of where they went somewhere, and they were the only person for miles, and...
By user hot chocolate.
And it was really, it's really good. I guess it's very bucket listy, but tons of ideas for places to go.
Well, and if that's, you know, if that's the thing you want, it's hard to also find them using conventional methods of crowdsourcing because by definition, the crowd means it fails.
Right.
Well, and a lot of this is This is a previously thought of as popular place. Go during this season. And I'm thinking, this is like introvert catnip, which is like, if you go to this one national park, but it's in October before the snows come, there's nobody there, which is great.
You know, that was like my sister and I going to London in February. It's not a touristy time to go to London. I mean, there's obviously tourists just like any place, and it's a big city. But it's like the reverse commute, you know? Anyone who's going there on vacation will not choose the shittiest month. And we didn't care because we just wanted to, like, be indoors most of the time.
Sweet. So someone mentioned Yosemite in winter. I went, let me see, the weekend, the few days before Martin Luther King Day in January, it was dead.
I
was going to, like, Bridal Veil Falls at 8 a.m. and was the only person in the, like, at the base of a giant waterfall, you know, covered in ice. Like,
Aww. It's
cold, but it's beautiful. And then, like, I remember we left on the start of the weekend, and suddenly there were, like, tens of thousands of people showing up. It was the most magical week ever, you know? Like, everywhere, you're just alone in one of the most popular national parks in, you know, America. It was so great.
That's super.
Yeah, it's like an extra level of enjoyment when you can have it all to yourself.
Speaking
super selfish, but whatever.
Of travel ones that are related, I didn't have anything to say about this specific, but it was the similar thing. Want to visit a dark sky park? Oh, and by the way, my wife and I are multiracial, so just to make sure it's not going to be a problem with that also. Dark sky parks are cool, and it was, again, a couple neat little stories about going to dark sky parks.
There's a list of them? I've never heard of that phrase. Cool.
Yeah. Well, because for people who are stargazers, like, that's what you need, right? And if you were going on vacation.
The darkest sky in the contiguous 48 states is far eastern Oregon, I think in the John Day Wilderness somewhere. And I
looked
for it. Like, people said, go there in August for the, you know, meteor shower, and it's amazing compared to everywhere else you've ever seen it. But I remember looking it up, and there's, like, no hotels.
Camping. That's why. Yeah. Of course there's no hotels.
Well, there's not even... I mean, it's just really, like, you'd have to get lots of supplies. You drive basically a couple hours into the middle of nowhere where there's nothing. There's no towns. Because there's no lights.
Yeah.
There's no nothing.
And you pack a really warm sleeping bag because it gets cold as fuck out John Day.
Even in, like, August?
Yeah.
I think even in the summer it's fairly cold, although it's probably
clear.
A lot better than, like, March, which is... and Angela's been out there a couple times actually for geology stuff, and yeah, like in even the spring it's cold as fuck. It's like, bring a sub-zero sleeping bag so that you aren't miserable and or
yeah, you can make ice
frozen.
On the ground in the desert.
Oh, that's right. Like Fiona went on a field trip out to eastern Oregon like end of April, right? And it was like in the 70s here, but it was cold at night, like in the 40s. There, it was 28 degrees when she woke up, which is nuts.
Yep. See, there's a post on Ask about volunteer work for loners, basically saying, hey, I want to do some volunteer work, you know, do 5 hours a week or something, but I want to do it without having to be social.
Right, because for some people, volunteer work is all about meeting people and making friends, and that's definitely what we tell people. Like, oh, you want to meet people? Volunteer work!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people are like, hey, I just kind of want to help out with something, but I don't want to have to not be introverted while I do it. And so, yeah, a bunch of suggestions from folks about
that.
What
is it, like data entry, or what do you do? I haven't read it.
Well,
I did data entry once as a volunteer. It was perfect. Like, I was like, I know how to use a computer. I'm new to town. I'd like a thing to keep me occupied and get me out of the house, but I don't really want to, you know, hold signs, go to meetings, march in a thing. And
you
just got to put things into their, you know, I mean, this was back in the 90s. Got to put things into their database so that they would have a database. It was perfect.
Yeah, and a lot of crowdsourcing suggestions come up, along with some, like, field. Like, there's the suggestion, you know, some of the Habitat for Humanity stuff is relatively social, but some of it's pretty darn just, you know, one-person or two-person job stuff. But, yeah, a lot of that crowdsourcing stuff in particular, like stuff you can do from your computer.
Yeah, we've got like... a...
Yep.
they're mentioning humanity do gardening work, like, on the side, or do trail work. Like, that is work that everyone ignores yep. you while you do it, too.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, not a whole...
Shelving books in the library? Come on, really?
Yeah, I would not recommend that, actually. I mean, often they pay people, number one, and number two, you got to do a lot of interaction with librarians and stuff like that. Depending. I mean, in big academic libraries, it can be like that. Not always. I enjoyed this PJern thread. He's building some tank cars for a friend's railroad, mini railroad, and he wanted to make inside jokes on the side of the...
That's great.
And so people made, you know, just various jokes about
why didn't the Cortex alarm get sounded?
Yeah, I gotta think about this.
I would have come in from retirement for this. Jesus. Clear my schedule. I'm making puns. God damn it.
Yeah, but, you know, just people enjoyed riffing off of, because they, you know, they're usually like four letters, they end in X, and then you want, and you'll have to read it to sort of understand it, but four or five digits end in X, and then it would be a, you know, a jokey joke kind of title. So I enjoyed the thread, it had some funny answers, and PJern is going to post...
I can't wait.
Pictures after he gets the custom decals.
HOAX, Bonsai Kitten Farms. That is...
See? Brilliant. It's brilliant! Brilliant.
Hoax and internet hoax.
Joke writes itself!
So smart. These are great.
Yep.
They are great.
This is my favorite.
That is
favorite,
excellent.
Favorite. Anything else?
Yes! I'm going to Australia. I'm interested in looking at animals. I'm kind of curious how people in Australia think about the animal populations by Badger Doctor. But basically wondering, like, if you actually live in Australia, have you come across these deadly animals that are supposed to kill you? What is it, you know, can I talk about the protected status of koalas and kangaroos? Do people like the animals, not like the animals? Would these be asshole questions to ask? And so it's basically someone planning a trip to Australia. And, of course, we have a lot of Australian members or people who have visited Australia who, you know, it's a great thread to read about animals in Australia. Fascinating. Super fascinating.
This is great.
Yeah. I mean, you've been. I've been. Josh, you should go. Yeah.
I should go sometime. About,
everything's deadly is deadly. Blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, everything I read was how deadly everything is.
Well, and that was the Bill Bryson thing, right? Like, you know, that everything in Australia is going to kill you. It wiped the Prime Minister out to sea. And, you know, what do you think it's going to do to you? Blah.
Oh, I distinctly remember watching, like, some PBS program. And I'm, like, 14. I'm just sort of, like, half paying attention on the couch. And suddenly they showed... saltwater snakes in Australia, and I went, what? I am never going to the beach in Australia. Like, weaponized snakes in the ocean that are poisonous. Like, have you ever seen a, like, sea snake? They're terrifying how they move through the water. Ugh. It's like, oh my god.
Is it in, like, a snake-like fashion?
It's creepy how they float through the water, and you're like, that thing could bite me at any time, and the ocean's scary because I can't see, but yeah.
This is, to be fair, that's basically the same thing applies to a four-year-old in a swimming pool.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're not very fast.
True, true.
And they can't stay underwater for very long.
So it's good to see, like,
there's some other holes I poke in your argument.
Damn it, I guess I didn't think this through.
People saying, like, I live in Australia, I swum off the coast, you know, my whole life, 40 years, I've never seen a box jellyfish, or I've never seen this. Like, this is good. This is good.
And, of course, the old drop bear mythos. The bears that hang out in trees, and they drop down, and... I mean, that's kind of the joke.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about drop bears is... oh, God, where is it? Sorry, I was just reading it, and now I forgot. That there's an actual drop bear page on the Australian Museum site, which makes it extra funny, because they don't actually exist, so, yeah. A big orange koala-type thing.
That is excellent.
That would be, what do they call it in Virginia? Squonk?
Something. Who even knows what you're talking about?
Virginians, hopefully.
Everyone has stories as a kid hearing about fictitious animals, and every region has their own, so that's funny. Trop bears.
Sloths. I'll never get tired of the sloth jokes.
They grow moss because they don't move fast enough not to.
Lazy bastards.
Can I just rant for a second for no reason?
Am I going to
have to
cut this out?
To edit it from the podcast?
No, okay, no.
Proceed.
This is good. For some reason, somebody in the music PR industry thinks Metafilter Music is a hot place that all the kids are going to. I'm getting like 100 emails a day from.
Why isn't
like,
Josh getting
list.
Those emails?
I don't know. I guess my name's still listed
you
on the
still,
domain.
You still got names on a couple places. If they hit the Who Is, then yeah, they're going to hit you.
Yeah, it's like Matt Howie at Gmail. Somebody added me to every music marketing list on Earth, and I have so many demo tapes in the inbox. And
you should listen to all
annoying.
Of them and start a podcast about it.
Oh, it's so no way they could tell their junk. Like people who made one CD, like or mixtape.
I didn't mean it was going to be a nice podcast. Just
it just ramped up in like last 3 weeks, like from zero to a billion.
Weird,
it's nuts.
Where 100 equals a billion.
Yes.
Or a billion
it's
equals
not happening
100.
To you.
If there's
at
more
all,
than one
Josh.
Zero, any number that has more than one zero is substitutable. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
I'm helping our library with a grant, and I was like, oh, we're probably going to have to get a hard drive, so blah, blah, blah. 500 terabytes should be about it. And she's like, yeah, okay. And then she looked it up and she got back to me. She's like, those are $10,000. Really? I'm like, oh, I meant gigabytes. They, you know, they add up to a terabyte, so blah, blah. And you know how, like, people who think you're the computer genius, you say one dumb thing, and all of a sudden they're like,
oh, remember that sound.
Maybe she lied about every other thing, and she doesn't know fucking anything.
Yeah.
So I have to rebuild that trust because I got terabytes and gigabytes confused.
That is rough. That is rough.
It's very difficult to be me. I think that was it. Hey, did June by Queers actually happen?
It has not come together in any sort of organized sense. I'm not sure if anybody has specifically decided to just use the tag yet or not. It actually occurred to me I should look and see
check
if there's
today.
Been from the last couple of days. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't end up cohering into an organized thing. So that may be something that just comes back around in the future when folks find a way that they're collectively more comfortable with.
Great. I think that's a possible thing that could possibly happen in the future, and I hope it does.
Yep. And there was, you know, all else aside, there's a lot of good, interesting, complicated discussion in the Meta Talk, along with it being sort of a difficult discussion. So I think that was good, and it'll give people hopefully somewhere to start from in a future attempt at something along those lines.
Want to tell the podcast listening audience about whatever this club thing is that I don't know anything about?
Oh, the fanfare
explain?
Club stuff. Yeah.
That seemed like a thing that was cool.
It is.
But
yeah. I talked about it a little bit last time as something coming up.
That it was maybe coming up.
Yeah. But we got to put together in the meantime. There's clubs on fanfare now. So people have been doing things like movie clubs, like the Robin Williams movie club, where they just organized on the wiki and on Fanfare Talk, they'd figure out, okay, let's watch this movie next week and then this one the week after that. And they'd just been sort of like, you know, doing this manually. And it seems like a good way to sort of organize the idea of watching a bunch of stuff, especially if it's something a little bit less obvious than this popular show is literally airing every week right now.
Right.
So we built something where you can actually create a club dedicated to a specific sort of kind of content, you know, a movie club about a given actor or a movie series, or potentially, you know, it could be a mix of TV and movies and, you know, books and podcasts and video games, you know, once we have more stuff in there. But basically you set up the club, say, hey, this is a club about everything about werewolves, and then you can make club talk posts to organize stuff instead of doing it all in the big general fanfare talk thing. Mm-hmm. So you could, everybody doesn't have to watch everybody's discussion about everything they're organizing. And you can post if you want to post a thread in your werewolf club about, hey, let's talk about great werewolf transformation scenes.
You can have kind of a talk thread too.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be tied to a specific episode or movie. You can just say, hey, let's talk werewolf transformation scenes, and boom, you got a thread.
That sounds nice.
And then anybody who wants to join can join. Anybody who's joined can tag a thread as belonging to that club. It'll show up on its page. So, you know, werewolf club and, I can't think of a name of the actor, but London Club. Maybe there's a club all about stuff that happens in London in TV movies. They could both tag American Werewolf as London in London, and that would show up in both of their club pages. So yeah, it's neat. It's brand new. We're still working out the basic kinks. We got a real basic version we're rolled out that we want to add more stuff to, but it seems to be working so far.
Cool.
So yeah, so that's a neat thing.
I'm happy for you guys. It just occurred to me I should put the passport project that we're doing in Vermont on the projects page, because it's a project.
Yeah,
damn it.
You should. By God, that
launched yesterday, and
what is it?
We're doing this thing. So, like, Jessamine's dumb. I'm going to visit every library thing that I talk about occasionally in the state. And the 251 Club, the people who visit every town in Vermont. Well, I got together with some people on the Vermont Library Association, and we made passports. Little, like, you know, Vermonter passports. Let me find you a picture so I can. And basically, it's a program, summer program, not a summer reading program, but just a program where you can go to a participating library, which is half the libraries in the state. You can pick up a little passport. You can see a picture of them. They look really nice. And you can go get them stamped at other libraries as you visit them, as you travel over the summer or do whatever it is that you're going to do. And there'll be prizes, like libraries will give a local prize, like who saw the most libraries of all our patrons. And then we've got a statewide sort of ambassador to libraries prize that we give to, like, the adult, the young adult, and the kid who visited the most libraries over the summer between June 1st and September 1st.
Nice.
And there's a map. You can see, like, you know, digital map. There's, you know, maps you can see that have all the participating libraries on it. You can see maps that have all the libraries on it. But we made 1,000 of these passports, like real stuff.
Yeah, and last I talked with you about this. You were trying to figure out how to get that printed, so...
Yeah. I asked a question on Ask Metafilter, actually, about how the fuck to do it. And it turned out the easiest way to do it was do it yourself, basically. So I borrowed the copy machine at school, who let me use the copy machine. I bought the paper, which was like $40 or $50. We printed it all. We went to the library when the library was closed and assembled 1,000 of them. We handed out half of them at the library conference, which was 2 weeks ago, where I got to see Scott Bonner talk about being the librarian in Ferguson, Missouri, which was amazing. And then we borrowed a corner cutter, which was the most complicated part of the whole thing, so that they would look nice. I designed them, and we've got 1,000 of them that are out in libraries all over the state. I should put it on projects. I didn't even think about it.
Yep, totally do that. No, that's awesome.
Ask Metafilter helped me with the initial parts of it also, because, you know, I was like, there's got to be a template. I'm just not finding the template, right? Nope. No templates. Don't know why, but no templates.
Can you open source all that stuff so every state can copy?
Yeah, all the pictures are open. I'm going to rip down the templates that I use so that people can put their own state in them.
Sweet.
And, I did it in Pages, too, which I'd never really used before for kind of desktop publishing, and it came out pretty well.
Yeah, wow, this is a really cool project.
Yeah, I was really happy with it. So, sorry, yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Awesome.
Papercraft.
That's super
neat. Matt, we're going to get you out of here in time for your job?
Yes.
Yeah, how about I do a real quick music corner here? I'll mention a few songs, and then we'll
That'd
wrap
be great.
Up.
Okay.
And I'll go rapid fire so I don't drag it out, but I'll
just
you know,
one
toss
more
some of these
short
in.
Thing. One more short
one,
thing.
One more quick thing. I just need 20
one
minutes.
One more quick thing.
There's a really nice Dire Straits cover of a song called "Why Worry" by Black Pebble.
I love that song.
Well, you will love this probably because it's a really, really nice stripped down resonator take on it that I really enjoyed listening to.
That album is amazing. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm so glad you pulled this out.
I've never really listened to Dire Straits in any kind of detail. I keep every time I hear a Dire Straits song, I'm like, oh shit, I need to listen to some Dire Straits.
I think I've
maybe
told you
will kick me to do it.
Their first album was the first thing I'd ever heard on a CD player.
Oh, really?
My father brought it home, brought a CD player and the CD home from Japan.
Yeah.
Like before you could buy CD players in America.
Yeah.
And we listened to it at very loud volume.
There's a Grumpy Bear 69 posted something called I Am On Your Side, which is this nice electronic and vocoder thing. So very much after my heart there. It's super nice and yay vocoder. There's Fiddle Tunes for a Friday by Mandolin Conspiracy, which is...
I love how this is a whole new set of users, too.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, and there's been a bunch of stuff that's been posted, and some of it's from people I know and some from not so much. I'm trying to make sure I get some of the not so much out there, too. Because, yeah, Mandolin Conspiracy, this is the second thing they've posted, and they post, you know, mandolin tunes, go figure. But this is a super nice, just really nicely played medley of a few traditional tunes. There is Going by Igasopolis, who at this point I've decided I feel confident it's pronounced Igasopolis. So if it's not, then I've really settled on the wrong thing. But it's just, just this nice sort of driving, it feels like road music to me. It's got a real sort of sense of movement to it. There's a similarly nice sort of chill driving thing by Cicadaverse called Deaf Dev Puts At Development End, celebrating the end of their online web dev course. So,
hooray!
and then Mike Cypark. I think.
Misky Park? I do not know how. Yeah. I've always called him Misky Park, but I think you're probably right.
However he says it, Sundre
it's
says...
It's definitely not Misky Park as I'm reading it.
Yeah.
All right.
Mike. Yep. Yeah, Mike Cypark.
Yeah, he does great great music generally.
Yeah, and this is a demo that sounds great. You know, he's talking about how it's, you know, demo for future studio recording, but, you know, this sounds good, so... anyway, those are just some nice things from last month. People have been doing the town. There hasn't been a ton posted to the town specific challenge,
but it's going for a while. We were brainstorming to try and think of a good town song, and it just turned into like endless bullshitting session, and we never picked a thing to actually go with.
Yeah, it's tricky. I'm going to try and write something about Huntsville in Huntsville, I think. Or possibly something about Portland and Huntsville. If I get to Huntsville, like, oh,
just about what you miss about Portland is what I would love to read.
Yeah, I might do that.
And what you don't miss.
But yeah. Music. Music's funny. Great.
It's funny how those 60s singers, Sinatra and them, and Tony Bennett and everything, they had so many city songs, like, for tours. Like, Chicago and New York and, like, San Francisco Left My Heart. Like, all those famous...
Play the crowd, man.
It just seemed like... It's like a holiday album, right? You make a thing, everyone will love it. Everyone will love you when you play it. Funny.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, that's that. Let's let Matt get to his meeting.
Matt, get to your meeting.
All right. Yay.
It has, as always, been a pleasure talking to you guys.
It's great talking to you guys. Josh, we're not going to talk to next time we talk to you, you'll be in Alabama, right?
I know. How weird is that?
Wow. Have fun.
Should
bon voyage.
Yeah.
Seersucker.
Yep. Well, I was thinking,
that's,
you know,
the sound of Josh not taking your advice.
shorts and socks and sandals, you know. That's, I think, the big fashion move.
Classic.
You'll be like an hour away from Cold Chef, like that's
more than
awesome.
That. No, I'll be like a drive away from Cold Chef. I could get there probably 6-7 hours, I think. So it's doable,
oh,
but
ouch.
Not casually. Yeah, Huntsville's ouch. Right up the north tip, Alabama. So
I always forget which one's Mississippi, which one's Alabama.
Yeah.
I think
a couple hours from Nashville.
Say that out loud.
So, you know, Mississippi is the one with all the S's and the P's and the I's in it.
No, they're mirror shapes. You know, like as a
New
kid,
Hampshire,
I got
Vermont.
Vermont and New Hampshire mixed up. But now I know. Now I know in my head. I know. You're closer to Florida. Got it.
Right. Anyway.
Have fun at Space Camp.
Thanks
team,
so much.
Have fun at Space Camp.
That's the title of the podcast.
Baby, I know this world can make you sad. Some people can be bad. Things they do, the things they say. Baby, I'll wipe away your bitter tears. I'll chase away those restless fears.